All right, let's go right to him. Omar Kelly, Miami Herald Dolphins columnist, joins us this morning. And, Omar, there is a lot to talk about after that. There was the first quarter, and then there was the second, third, and fourth quarters.
That it really was the second quarter, 17 points. That's, you know.
Yeah, okay. It just
the rest of it was let's run the ball and try to get out of this game.
Yeah, no, you're right. And physical, I could see half trying to put his put a little print on that on how he wants to play the game, and I think he saw some of that stuff. Let's talk about the quarterback play. I knew right away the number two and number three quarterback. I guess we find out that Quinn Ewers is a groin injury, will be week to week, and now we bring back Gronkowski, who was a fourth quarterback, as a third quarterback. Yeah, Miller comes in and he struggled. So are we looking for another quarterback, you think? Could there be another one?
Absolutely. Here's why I don't like this move. You already looked at Gronkowski, and I did when he got cut. I thought he was making some progress, so I don't have a problem that he's back. He's got an athleticism that I like. Clearly, Quinn is having some issues. I can't say is having some issues. I'm not even going to say the groin is why he's having some issues. Quinn was having issues going back. I thought last week was the best week of camp. And then we get to the game and we're 1 of 8 and throw that interception. And I'm not blaming him for that interception, because I do believe a receiver was supposed to be there, made the wrong route. It is what it is. But there should be competition here. And I wonder why they didn't. They have history with Desmond Ridder from Kyle Smith, the Atlanta Falcons assistant GM, who is now the Miami Dolphins assistant GM. I'm curious why they didn't go that route and possibly indoctrinate him in what you're teaching for the next 2 weeks and evaluate him there before going out on the waiver wire and doing what you do. And I'm definitely up for going out on the waiver wire and upgrading the quarterback position.
So can I just say this? Were you during OTAs and minicamp wanting to open competition for Quinn and
Quinn Malik? Looks different. Quinn looks different.
They're not even close right now.
Hold on. In fairness, but Leak doesn't look like he looks now, and Quinn definitely doesn't. Neither one of them looks like they look.
Yeah.
They look, you know.
He was slow. Ewers was really slow on some throws, getting them out. Look, I know he doesn't have – you watch Malik, though, and then you watch Ewers throw it, or nothing in common. But yeah, he just looked late on throws. And, it was just – it'll be interesting going forward. Hey, got to ask you, there's so much to talk about. Zeke Biggers held out of game – one, boy, he was so good at the practice they had at the stadium. I mean, yes. Dominant. I mean, he was all over the place.
Zeke's one of the people who know me and follow me. They know Zeke's one of the players I'm most excited about. I'm definitely curious to see what he brings to the team. Long arms, physical player. He's not going to be a sack guy, but he's definitely going to be a Kendall Langford type run stopper, edge setter.
What do you think happened? Why he didn't play?
They don't clarify injuries. So
you think it was an injury though, most likely getting nicked up?
Yeah, I would see no reason other than maybe they want to evaluate other guys.
He needs to play though too. He's still a young guy that needs playing time. So anyway,
I don't disagree with you, but I did like what I saw from Robert Beal Jr. I think if anybody earned a spot on the 53 man roster for me based on what they did in that Commanders game, it would be Robert Beal Jr. Let's see if he continues to progress.
Hey, Omar, I loved the starting five. They took a big jump. And I know who they played against. It doesn't matter. Yeah. They dominated. Those are some of the biggest holes. The biggest surprise tonight was not Malik Willis for you and I, because I know you feel the same way I do. This is the way he's looked all at camp.
Definitely wasn't Caleb Douglas, because we've been looking at that the all camp.
Yeah, so but I got to tell you, the holes, the size of those holes, and a lot of it was over Savaya Nye and some of the double team blocks. He came off, he picked off the other guys, and it was great. I just thought both sides were really good at the guard position.
Guard position, I thought everybody played well.
Yeah, the whole group. Blocking tight ends, great. Well. Yeah.
They look like they should have a respectable, decent run game. I and add Malik into that element, it makes you defend every blade of grass. What I would love to see for this team is for them to get another at least respectable weapon, because right now, Jalen Tolbert isn't going to do it. Tutu Atwell isn't going to do it. Jalen Reagor isn't going to do it. Theo Weiss isn't going to do it. Terrence Marshall isn't going to do it. Taj Washington isn't going to do it.
There's two receivers on this team right now. There's two wide receivers I trust.
Maybe two and a half. I like AJ Hanning. I'm curious. And we right now are not looking at Kevin Coleman Jr. So, and I thought he was going to be able to help you in the slot. What I would like the Dolphins to do is to, on those quick hitting things that they throw Malik Washington, I'd love for them to get somebody who can give them some run after catch. There's just not enough run after catch there for me.
So he is so good as a return guy, as the punt return guy, breaks so many tackles. It's so I know what you're saying. I think they still think it's there, but right now he's still, even saying that, to me, he's your second best receiver.
He is a second best receiver, and I like Malik. I definitely do. He's earned everything he's ever gotten in the NFL. There was a year, I forget what season it was, but Malik was on the bubble, went into that final exhibition game and balled. This isn't about what Malik is, because what he is somebody who should be proud of what he's accomplished. This is about what the offense lacks. And in my opinion, Malik has everything he needs to be a top 10 quarterback, with the exception of weapons. There's three weapons on this team: Devon Achane, Caleb Douglas, and the tight end, and that's it. That's it. And what happens when one of those guys goes down?
No. We definitely could give him. Look, and I'm the same way, because I think Malik's got a chance, man, to really do some. By the way, how about just a couple of those I called them teaser runs that he made. Those are just little teasers.
I just want you to run for first downs. Just run for first down to get down. I don't want a scrambling quarterback. Nothing is there. Take off. Get to the marker. Get down.
Yeah.
Cheat. Give me a third down cheat conversion. Just give me two of those a game. I don't want a scrambling quarterback, Joe, because you know what happens to a scrambling quarterback? He gets his egg scrambled.
Well, because they get in the middle of the field, and they've been doing it in their whole life. It's funny, because we were talking about this, and they got that one guy in the middle of the field, and they go, oh, I can put a move on this guy. And then I'm always going, no, that guy tackles for a living. That safety and that linebacker, they're going to get you sooner or later.
And they've been waiting for a clean shot of the quarterback for a long time.
And all that frustration built up from not being able to get that quarterback, and they get that hit. That you guess wrong on your move, and they guess right, and you get clobbered.
I know the quarterback, Mariota. I know T-Dot's hit on him didn't knock him out of the game, and it's probably a knee injury. But T-Dot took all his frustration on camp out on that man. Yeah. He just gave him the sledgehammer.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, I don't want my quarterback being exposed to that kind of stuff.
No, I agree. I think everybody in the NFL is having those discussions that please, please don't run at least late into the year when we see some of the better quarterbacks start run a little bit more in the game,
important. Better quarterbacks run on third downs, fourth quarter, game on the line. They'll start scrambling.
Hey, let's talk about Chop. I see a better Chop overall. Chop Robinson is, again, it's early. And I'm not putting him, but it's good to see his confidence too, man. His body language, and I see him around. And if he's got a little chip on his shoulder, it's okay, Chop. Chopping a chip is okay.
Listen, I like the development that I'm seeing from Chop Robinson, from Jonah.
Both those guys, great call. Yeah.
Greg
Dulcich.
Dulcich. I like that. Right now, if you can continue to Zeke Biggers, if you can continue to get those guys, those second-year guys, because I think the second-year guys are more important than the rookies. If you can continue to get those guys to take that next step, you have something special. You need a Juju Brents to take that. You need to get Dante Trader to take that step.
Got to get those guys back.
Huh?
Got to get those guys back. Got to get them. I'm okay with that week.
On both of those guys, I want them healthy for the season. So I don't even need them to practice this weekend. Giants, probably the last week, I'll probably give them a push against the Falcons. They're too critical to the success of the season. And the way you know guys go get injured and go down in preseason games, it's just not worth it.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you. So we lose a key guy that we're kind of, I think we're all counting on to be kind of a backup guard and tackle in Jamari. And all of a sudden he goes down and he's out now on IR.
Yep.
Where do we go from here? I feel pretty good about Caden Wallace. I thought he looked pretty good out there. What do you think for 6, 7, and 8? Give me your idea.
I 6, 7, and 8. Jeez,
I threw a couple of spots out at you there.
Yeah. 6, 7, and 8 are critical, and I say this every season. I've covered the Dolphins for 19 seasons. There isn't a year you haven't had to start your 7th and 8th offensive lineman for a handful of games. Yes. So 6, 7, and 8 are critical. Your offensive line is only as good as the weakest link on it. Andrew Meyer struggled. I expected better play from him. Josh Puig, he's had a up and down camp. Need to see consistency. DJ Campbell, he's a rookie. He's going to play like a rookie. He's going to be on the 53. Let's just hope for progress and development. And Caden Wallace, you know, I guess he had a good first beginning game, but who is he playing against? We got to see him.
But whoever you're playing against,
he doesn't know what's going on. Either,
right.
So
he just, but he looked pretty. I was watching him fundamentally, and I was on it for only being here a couple of days. Right.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty good. Now I'm guessing when you trade away,
he was with the team for 3 days before he played.
Yeah. Not much. So, Charlie Heck, getting any better? I know he's got a bunch of starts this league.
Yes, he's getting better. He's getting better. Let's hope he continues to get better. And I'm open to it because Larry Borman was horrible in training camp and in the exhibition season.
Boy, his career's picked up, huh? His popularity's picked up, yeah.
And then he turned it around as a starter at filling in for Austin Jackson. And Larry Borman's a guy I'd love to get back, if you can imagine that, just because I know he can get the job done. Hopefully there is some respectable, decent offensive linemen who get waived on the 30th, and the Dolphins will be aggressive adding them, adding safeties, adding wide receivers, because this team still needs help. They are about 10 players away from having a legitimate NFL roster.
Let's talk a little bit about the rookie class besides the obvious at the top. Which guys – any guys stand out? We saw a couple of guys played a ton of snaps. Oh, my God. He had like almost 50 snaps in the game.
If I had to rank them based on performance, based on snaps, Will Kaczmarek will go number one. I would go Tris Johnson number two. He looked pretty good. I'd love to see him better versus better competition. I would definitely go Trey Moore. You could see you see how much they're investing in snaps into him to speed up
that
his
development. That does tell you a lot. That's funny. You're right. Yeah. That's what you got to read into it. Yeah.
He's a starter that's written in pen. They believe in the skill set. They believe in the intelligence. What that means for other guys on the roster like Willie Gay, I have no idea. But, you know, Willie Gay's a player, so we know that. We only got really 10, 15 snaps from Caden Proctor. So we definitely, the jury's still out. They ran behind him for the touchdown, so that's a great sign. He wasn't playing against anybody. Let's see what happens when he plays against
somebody. I get it. But you know what? It's a good start for those guys to get some confidence in
the
game and play. And you're right. The Giants are going to try to come down here on Thursday. And they're preaching the physical thing, and they're going to try to get after us. And I expect grab your popcorn if you got invited to go Thursday, and I know you're going to be out there. that I figure they can get after pretty good, don't you?
It starts at open. I think it's open to the fans.
I don't know if it's a private practice.
It's not a private practice. I think joint practice is open to the fans. And yeah, okay. If you could get there, because that's really going to be where you get to see the action. It's not going to be in the exhibition game.
And by the way, this is the last practice they're going to have against it. They won't do anything with the Atlanta Falcons the following week. So that'll be it. What did you think of Tua before we go?
Not impressed. And it's not about the fumble. The arm isn't there anymore. And, you know, they can – it's a dull
stadium. I think he's going to start the season, still start.
He's absolutely going to start the season. I think he's going to put up decent numbers and third down efficiency and red zone success. But it's – the arm's going to fade. It's going to fade eventually.
It was a bit of a good recovery for the fan club, though.
It is a little – wasn't he talking about 30-something touchdowns not too long ago, Woody? I think you're right.
How's that doing on membership, by the way?
Doing what? What's
the Tua fan club that you run.
It's still around. No, there's still some people.
It's still strong, man. It's still strong. No. Alabama, Polynesian community membership is still high.
Oh, no, we still got people that think we didn't get enough around him. I still got that coming in. Yeah,
Alabama, Polynesian community, God Squatters, Tua's fan club is still strong.
I don't know, man. I had a couple Tua cards that I was trying to move at 90% off at the card show. I couldn't get it, so
there you go.
We had Dolphin fans, any chance you like Tua?
Hey, we got to let you go. Hey, Omar, thank you, man. I appreciate you coming on this morning.
Oh my gosh! All right, guys.
I could sell my cards to this guy. Put them up on your wall.
We should make Omar get all those cards. Yeah. All right.
Listen, it is what it is. His arm's gone, man. It's like a pitcher that used to.
I don't
throw
know if it's arm or he's been hit a lot. And
the
I
arm
don't know,
is
man.
Gone,
and that.
Man.
He didn't look real comfortable in that pocket. And he's looking at everything. It's the same old drop in the snap.
Okay.
One or two of those.
You think it's because he can now get hit again?
Because he looked, I don't know.
It is what it is, man.
Who was our old is what it is? Who was that? Was that a Saban thing? It is what it is. I don't know.
I don't know.
Somebody out there help me. It is what it is.
Is what it is.
It's a good one.
It's a good way out of stuff.
All right. Thank you, Omar. I appreciate it, man. You take care. All right. Atlantic Men's Clinic. You know what? I said ED and low T, nothing to mess with there.
Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. We take you guys up until 2 here on the program. Happy to be with you here on a Monday. We're streaming live on YouTube and Twitch. Leroy, can we get a weather update, please? Brought to you by Tornado Roofing and Contracting. Hurricane season is here. Make sure your roof and windows are ready. Call 954-968-8155 for a free estimate.
No clouds in the sky. It is sunny. Light breeze. If it's 5 miles an hour, that'll be, high. And it's 90 degrees, and it's smoldering hot out there.
Yeah. Brutal out. The headlines are brought to you by Doral Kia. In Miami at a Domino's game, you'll always find your abuelito, and whenever you want a low price, you save with your pricito. Save now with your pricito at Doral Kia. Marlins, they take 2 out of 3 from the Reds. They win 7-1 yesterday. They take on the Phillies. Start a series, 3-game series with them tonight. You can hear that here on WQAM. The Pinks! They lost to Nashville SC this weekend 4-1. 3 straight losses for the Pinks, though not all of them in MLS play, but that one would have, I think, got them back to first place. So they're reeling a little bit. They'll get back on track. All right, they're the champs. The Dolphins, they got some great news today. They activated wide receiver Chris Bell off the non-football injury list yesterday. They signed back quarterback Mark Gronowski, who was there earlier with them because Quinn Ewers has a banged up groin. And they also lost Jamari Salyer for the season. So no bueno there. We got to mention this. Vlad sent me during the break just the memes on Tua had himself a weekend, dude. the internet.
Weekend at Tua's. Dude,
the weekend, the internet took such joy. Tua stunk up the joint in his preseason debut with the Falcons. And I don't know if he's just completely cooked, Leroy. I don't know what's going on. I mean, like, he always drops snaps. Like, he did it the second play of the game. He fumbled the snap, which is, listen, it's not as easy when you're at home, you know, eating your bag of chips. It's not as easy to handle those things. So he does that. But this like, the numbers on his throws, this was from Warren Sharp. Tua threw 5 passes, 0 attempts traveled even 5 yards in the air. All 5 were underthrows. He averaged minus 0.2 air yards, the lowest of any QB in the preseason. He threw all of them to Kyle Pitts. One of them was one of those flip-de-doo passes. He was under duress, but also he looks like if anybody comes near him, he's just done. Like, he's just not dealing with it anymore. And, like, there was a one point, did you see Vlad on the sidelines when, like, Kyle Pitts just points to him? And, like, I don't know if he just happened to be doing that and it just got turned into a meme, but yeah. It looks like they... It's just like him just like, believe this guy stinks.
This is the guy we got? That was that like type of point and look.
Kyle Pitts is going to get a lot of throws to him this year if it keeps up like that. But, dude, Falcons fans, and I know Leroy's got no love lost for Atlanta. Dude, Falcons fans are losing their minds already with Tua.
Of course. Of course.
It's not like Penix is any better.
Right.
Can't even get out there. He's not officially
like one of the things that you have to understand about teams with weapons, right? You better have a strong enough arm to get it to those weapons who can fly. And if you can't, it's going to be figured out right away. So I don't know if he don't have the arm to get the ball down the field. Like, what they're going to do, because you ain't going to have all that horsepower outside and be throwing dinks and dunks.
Right. He was it was rough. And honestly, it's tough to feel like this because I used to root for Tua, man. Like, I liked Tua. I wanted Tua to work out.
You rooted for Tua because he played for the Dolphins.
Yes, but also, like, I think there was part of the thing with Tua that also was a huge national spotlight all the time. But also, listen, the guy came back from everybody thinking he was cooked to
spotlight around Tim Tebow. It doesn't mean you could.
Oh, come on, he's not Tim Tebow though, dude. He led the league in passing.
Again, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that Tebow just because he was high claimed doesn't mean that, you know, he can play.
Here's what it was. Tua was highly regarded because he played at the time the most prominent college football program with the biggest head coach, with the biggest star. He played for Alabama. So, and the fact that the way he won, the way he was introduced to us in that national championship game,
taking over Jalen Hurts.
So he was already he was already heralded going into Alabama. We all know he had to wait for Jalen. Then he outplayed Jalen, won the national championship, and then that was it. That was it. From then on, when he does well, he's going to be highly praised. If he does bad, he's going to be highly criticized. And that's been it.
Yeah, but he kind of changed how people thought about Alabama quarterbacks, too, because they were mostly like, we're dinks and dunker game managers or runners first.
He was
letting it rip down the field. Like, before he was completely cooked on his athleticism. I mean, I can't lie. It is a relief. Like, it's not a thing that you have to deal with anymore, because thinking about this all of last year, and you think to that first Indianapolis game and what a disaster it was.
Right.
And yeah, he just doesn't look like he's got it anymore. Looks like he's just completely physically shot.
Totally. Is this a lesson for all teams that if you physically don't look like you can play the position, that maybe you should just pass?
Yeah, probably.
If he physically can't play, because you can't say he can't play the position, because when healthy, he played the position.
What I said was, if you physically don't look like you can play the position, should you just pass? And the reason why I say that is because Tua came into the league hurt.
Well, that's the thing, Leroy. So this is why I think Tobin and a lot of Dolph fans were extra to root for Tua. Because remember, going in with the hip injury, there was a lot of doubt on him. A lot of doubt. And because when you realized Burrow was going to go to Cincinnati, it was between Herbert and Tua. People were more, they knew more of Tua than they did Correct. Of Herbert, because Herbert played in the Pac-10 or the Pac-12 at the time, and you saw Tua all the time. And Tua won in big games. In retrospect, a lot of people thought, hey, get the guys other than Tua. But because Tua was the name and there was the tank for Tua, it was, all right, we're going to pick Tua. And because you guys selected Tua and he was hurt, it was going to be more so, all right, we want this guy to come back, get healthy, and prove all the naysayers wrong. But and when he did, everybody was happy.
I think the thing, though, Vlad, is like, yes, he obviously is a guy who's always been susceptible to injuries, but it's impossible not to look at what happened with the concussions and be like,
it did. I mean, you're talking about a guy who was already hurt.
It completely warped
his physical attributes needed to be at full power just for him to be able to compete.
Yeah, so he's his margin for error.
A smaller guy, if he loses any power, it's going to be a struggle. And that's kind of what happened with his arm, with his legs, with, you know, I'm not even talking about the concussions.
But they're also part of it, too, because it's like he's because then it comes to, well, he's not going to move at all. And he just looks like a guy. He doesn't even want to be out there.
And it got to the point, guys, everybody's looking for anything he said or did to criticize him, because then that's when it
very
is
easy.
When the injuries happen, and then it started to churn after that Christmas loss to the Packers. I think that's when everybody started that's when everything started to turn on Tua. It was like I don't want to say nitpicking, but everything he did was going to be criticized.
Right.
And then last season he didn't help matters when, you know,
last year Cuneo asked
him a simple question on the sideline, and then he's like opening Pandora's box, letting us in into things that weren't even asked. It was like, okay, what's going on with him? So it took a while. It took a while for the love affair to end, but it just seems very crazy right now how y'all turned on him.
It's hard not to feel like a relief, though, because you see how Malik Willis plays in that first drive, and he's just flinging the ball with ease, and the offense is moving, and he's out there, and you're just like, oof.
And he's more comfortable in his skin than Tua. I don't think Tua's ever comfortable down here. Malik is absolutely comfortable being himself.
Well, I think that's
tried so hard to be what everybody wanted him to be, as far as how he talked, some of the things he said, that you can always tell when somebody's outside their comfort zone, because they end up saying things that come across the wrong way, right? If you just say what you want to say and it's genuine, nobody's going to care. But Tua always tried to, like, when he talked, there was a level of, he could never get comfortable and just be him. He was always trying to be something somebody else wanted to be. Case in point, have you ever met a quarterback that didn't get up on the podium and say, I got to be me, right? Tua's always like, oh, well, I got to run more. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do. Just play quarterback. Don't worry about what people think. He was so worried about, oh, well, I guess I better slide. We got to a point where we were cheering a man running for a 2-yard run and slide. Come on.
Well,
it's crazy.
This was him after the dud that he had in his preseason opener.
Not up to standard, not even up to par. You know, we'll start with the first drive. Was the second play, just being able to catch the snap. You know, little things like that. You know, I was thinking about it, like, what we put out there is not a reflection of the hard work. The hard work that we've put in the first 2 weeks, you know, into training camp, and it does no justice for, you know, the work that our coaches as well, you know, have implemented. So, you know, it starts with me. I got to be better with that. You know, I thought off of that play, kind of got out of the rhythm. You know, I think we could have had a pretty decent play off of the screen going to B-Rob and kind of getting everything going from there. So, starts with me, and I got to be better. That's it.
You know what? Come out and say, I sucked. We ain't going to do nothing if I play like that. End of conversation. Walk off the stage. Stop trying to explain it. He's always trying to explain it.
Because then when you do that, then I'm going to come at you at, hey, why are you dancing like that? Because if you stunk like that, I don't want to see you dancing during practice. I don't want to see you doing old school hip hop moves.
I think the dance is from the Dolphins. I don't think that's a new video.
Is that Dolphins? I thought it was the Falcons, but maybe it was the Dolphins.
No, Quinn Ewers is in that video, but it was funny.
Oh, like, my God.
All of the videos that went crazy this weekend. So
we're from 3 years ago.
No, I mean, there were new ones this weekend. The one where he's getting pointed at by Kyle Pitts is hilarious.
It's like, just like, again, I had my questions and told me you knew why, right? I'm not big on signing a guy that high or spending a lot of money. I had the same problem with the Browns. Why would you give a guy $230 million and you know he's going to be out for a substantial amount of time the first year and you already got rid of your quarterback, right? Like, it makes no sense. You're wasting money just from that perspective. The same thing with Tua, right? This is not an organization that was known to stay with what they said they were going to do, what their plan was, right? So why not just get the quarterback that's going to be able to play right away?
Oh, wow. You know what? Shmeathan's right. I never saw the video. I saw the still shot. It's not Kyle Pitts. It's Michael Penix, which is even funnier. He's right.
Hey, a little,
listen, you got to get your knees right, dude.
That you can't have the injury guy making fun of another injury guy. Woo. Two injuries don't make a positive.
Tough weekend. Tough weekend for Atlanta.
Yeah, it. What makes it worse is that all those people in the locker room know Penix, right? So when he's telling jokes, they laughing. When Tua tell a joke, they ain't laughing yet because he ain't done nothing for them. Mm. And that's kind of how that goes.
Well, before the season even kicks off, everyone's making predictions. Who wins the division? Who makes the playoffs? And who's lifting the trophy at season's end? On Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform, you can trade those predictions in a live market. Everybody may be feeling a little froggier about the Dolphins after this preseason opener this past week. You know, we had a lot of fun watching that opening drive. And if you think that Miami can surprise and make the playoffs, that's currently trading at 9%. So a $100 trade gets you a payout of over $1,000. But you don't even have to do that. Even if you're just optimistic, you think, hey, I think Miami can win six games. Six or more is trading at 29%. So a $100 trade gets you $350 on the payout. On Kalshi, you're trading against your peers in a live market, meaning there's no house. And as the probabilities change, you can buy in and out of your position. You download the Kalshi app. Use my code Tobin to get $10 when you trade 10. K-A-L-S-H-I, Kalshi, trade on anything. 18 plus only. Restrictions to eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
So we have a lot to talk about today. I'm sure everybody watched the Dolphins game on Friday night, and we'll get into it today. Josh Appel is going to join us. He watched the game. He also called the Atlanta game nationally on the radio. So he got to watch Tua live and in person on Friday night. Get to that in a second. Omar Kelly, he is going to join us today as well. He was at the Dolphins game in Washington on Friday. So we'll talk with him. Crowder is at Rams training camp, and he will endeavor to join us on the program today. He's there for the pivot. And so we will hopefully be joined by Crowder at some point, but he is at the Rams training camp. And as we get underway, I tweeted it out watching it on Friday night. I was beyond impressed with the Dolphins' first drive, the Malik Willis drive. He looked, to me, the untrained eye, like a multifaceted weapon out there. And we haven't seen multifaceted in a few years. So that was, even when he scrambled, like, you know how you used to tense up when Tua would scramble? You'd tense up because you didn't know how it was going to end. You knew that he wasn't going to get the yardage that he needed, and it didn't feel that way. So I felt good about that. In fact, I think he's the best quarterback since Dan Marino to ever suit up for the Miami Dolphins.
Really?
Maybe better than Dan Marino. based on that series. And Devon Achane, he was already in midseason form as far as I was concerned. Caleb Douglas, anyone? Anyone? Anyone?
Yes. Yeah, me. Over here. Pick me. Yes.
I mean, Caleb Douglas looked for real. Now, I'll temper it because I've seen this in preseason and training camp before from receivers. Who was that receiver? Preston Williams. I just thought of his name.
Yeah.
Was it Williams or Wilson? I think it was Preston Williams.
Preston Williams and Eric Ezukama every single year. Eazy-E, Skylar Thompson to Eric Ezukama every single preseason.
But like Preston Williams, I think it was a preseason game, like was going up high the way Caleb Douglas did. And we were like, this guy's the next big thing. But he really did. In my opinion, Caleb Douglas, like I got excited about him. You know what? I had that feeling when we got into hurricane season last year and we were talking about who are the weapons? Like, who's Carson Beck throwing to? And then all of a sudden, we saw Malachi Toney. I had a little bit of that feeling where it was like, hey, that guy looks legit to me. And we've had questions. Like, Tutu Atwell, he ran the wrong route at the beginning. There was an errant throw. Was it an interception or was it just an incompletion that Quinn Ewers had thrown? But it was Tutu Atwell ran the wrong route. He's done nothing to get people excited, but Caleb Douglas comes out of that game, I think, having a lot of Dolphins fans excited. The other quarterback news, speaking of Quinn Ewers, he stunk. Like, he looked awful. Like, awful. Again, I'm not going to put too much into it, but you do feel like a second-year backup quarterback who actually started some games the previous season would look a little bit better against backups. But also he was playing with backups for the most part. So I'll reserve judgment. He's injured anyway. If you did watch a little bit of that Falcons game or see some of the Tua highlights, Warren Sharp had tweeted out, Tua threw 5 passes. 0 attempts traveled even 5 yards in the air. 0 attempts. Traveled even 5 yards in the air. All 5 were thrown underneath. He averaged 0.2 air yards, the lowest of any quarterback in a preseason game so far this year. Obviously, there's only been a handful. He looked awful. Atlanta fans are beside themselves with anger. If you are on social media, yeah, somebody puts on the chat, you still think he can be comeback player of the year, Hawk? Absolutely. One thing Tua knows how to deal with, it's adversity.
Yeah. The fumble was really chef's kiss for us in Miami. I don't want to do the victory lap on Tua having a bad game because I really, like, I have no ill will towards the guy, whatever, man. But, Hawk, the fumble, like, imagine having once again this year to be a Dolphins fan and having to somehow explain that, like explain that away, like, oh, it's preseason, no big deal. When you know, hey, this is who he is. This is a big deal. This is who he's going to be.
Yeah, we've seen that a number of times, that fumbled snap. So anyway, we'll talk about all this stuff. Let's start with headlines brought to you by Doral Kia in Miami. At a Domino's game, you'll always find your abuelito. And whenever you want a low price, you save with your pricito. Save now with your pricito at Doral Kia.
Malik Willis, Hawk, is the big story. I know you mentioned how impressed you were with that drive. I wanted at one point this preseason to feel like I was going to be able to put faith in Malik Willis, to just conduct the offense, be the guy who can conduct the offense and have promise doing so, right? Command the offense. And all it took was one drive. I was blown away. I did not think after one drive I would have faith in Malik Willis. And that's it. It was one drive, and I had faith in Malik Willis.
I did too. He was composed. They were running. They were throwing. He had time. Scrambled when needed to. Keep that man safe. Because what's behind him did not spark any confidence whatsoever.
Still feeling like it's only one win?
I didn't feel like it's only one win. Okay. But I would not bet over 4.5.
Okay. Even after seeing that, you wouldn't bet over 4.5?
No. After seeing what?
After seeing what? What do you mean what?
After seeing one drive?
Malik to Caleb Douglas? I mean, that's going to go down, Hawk, as the greatest quarterback wide receiver combination in Miami Dolphins history.
Like,
that's
I hope where I you was are right, man. After that I hope preseason. You are right. It was great. It was great. But then you saw, like, they've got a problem in the secondary. If Marcus, was it Marcus Mariota who was, if Marcus Mariota didn't go down, I think he picked apart, would have picked apart their secondary. They've definitely got some issues. And you can't expect Caleb Douglas to make those kind of catches all season long.
No, but it was still a fun first drive, for sure. Considering how it started, Hawk, considering Jalen Wright muffs the opening kickoff, catches, like, ends up corralling it out of bounds, and there was a holding penalty on that play. I was saying, oh no, like, this is a bad omen for how the Halfley era is going to start, which is Jalen Wright, fumble, holding, you start the drive on your 7-yard line or whatever it was, the 5-yard line. I said, uh-oh, this is a bad omen. And they went down the field, scored a touchdown, and Devon Achane played, which was electric, because I don't think any of us were expecting that.
I will just address again, everyone is putting on the chat that you sound like you are in a tin can, that you're broadcasting out of a bathroom. They're telling Jimmy to fix it. Jimmy hasn't blinked. I don't know. We don't know what the audio problems are. We don't know what the issue is, and I apologize.
No, I think we know.
Well, this point, like this person's saying, though, Joe is okay, Tobin is okay, and then the audio craps the bed.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. We're all using the exact same system. We're all using the exact same settings, and, you know, I feel pretty confident, like I've narrowed down what the issues are, but those are issues out of my control. And I apologize to the streamers, but we have to prioritize the radio audience, and that has no issues.
Yeah, apparently the audio is fine. Again, if you want to listen on 104.3 FM, WQAM, if you want to listen on the Odyssey app, that seems to have no issues as well. You're welcome to text the show on the text line if you're listening via audio, and let us know if there are any problems. But we do believe that the audio problems are strictly a video streaming issue, and again, we apologize.
The Dolphins, Hawk, they're going to play the Giants this upcoming Saturday, 4 o'clock here in Miami. Your final two preseason games against the Giants and against the Falcons. The Dolphins will have joint practices, Hawk, with the New York Giants coming up later this week. There was practice today. The big news today is that the Bell man, Chris Bell, is on the practice field, baby.
Yeah, wearing the red jersey, but he is off IR, and that would be a nice addition.
Feels like you got something brewing with the wide receiver unit.
Really? Because someone came off IR?
Yeah, it does. It does. I think Chris Bell's going to be a stud.
I hope so, but it feels like we've got something brewing because he's got placed off IR.
Yeah, I mean, if Caleb Douglas, Hawk, I'm not even trying to be a homer. If Caleb Douglas, who, it's not just the one catch, it's that throughout all of camp, all we've been hearing from all the reporters, the coaches, and the players is that Caleb Douglas has been outstanding, that he's exceeded expectations. Omar Kelly and Chris Perkins told us on Game Day Uncensored that he's been the standout wide receiver at Dolphins training camp. So if you can have a surprise like that, that ends up being very valuable as a rookie, and Chris Bell, who we all kind of feel like really was a second-round or first-round type talent, and he only dropped because he had a major injury in college, all of a sudden, like, maybe you found something here with two young wide receivers.
Totally agree. But to say I think something's brewing because one receiver was finally able to practice by August 17th with a red jersey on, and the other receiver had a decent drive. I mean, I'm just saying, pump the brakes.
All right. I'm not. I'm putting my foot on the gas, baby. Let's go. Okay. I cannot wait for week one in Las Vegas. I cannot wait.
Well, no one can wait for week one. I'm excited for week one. Everyone wants to get the football season underway.
By the way, the update on Quinn Ewers is that he suffered a groin injury early in that game against the Commanders. Today, he was not out there practicing. The Dolphins, they brought back Mark Gronowski, and unfortunately, offensive lineman Jamari Salyer's season is donezo. He suffered a season-ending injury.
Yeah.